Cause I know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows. I know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows.
And welcome to AFL Tonight. This is ArenaFan.com's weekly look at everything arena football. I'm Tim Capper along with live Adam Markowitz.
I'm going to try staying still, I promise. I am going to be working on Meerkat. See, this is getting too much.
Yeah, I know. We are live from Stockton, California, home of Arena Bowl 28. Literally just steps from the Stockton Arena where the game will be between the San Jose SaberCats and the Jacksonville Sharks. If you haven't seen it already, make sure you head over to YouTube and check out all of the interviews that we have done. We also did a Periscope of the media day that happened today, and we are going to try to get a lot more for you. Some interesting stuff. Go to mention it, Adam, for anybody who's listening just to the SoundCloud portion, the audio portion of what we're going to be doing tomorrow during the game.
During the game.
Yeah, during the game.
So yeah, we're going to actually use presumably Periscope to show you what we're going through at the game. So we can't stream the game. That would be illegal.
That is illegal.
We're not going to do that. But what we can do is put a cell phone kind of propped up like the one we've got right now somewhere where you can kind of get a probably a horizontal-ish look at us as we're going crazy with all sorts of stuff from records and scores and who did this and who did that. And we all yell at each other for the duration of 60 minutes. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. If it's a popular thing, and I think it's going to be, we will continue it. So we'll continue it throughout the game, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You're probably not going to want to watch it with sound because you're going to have the Arena Bowl on with sound. But if you want the better commentary, maybe from us.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. And
by the way, that's no slight on Ari or Seth or
anything. No, guys are great. No,
but we're fun. We can say the things they can't say.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, the comments that we're hearing today about the back and forth banter doesn't seem to be just on television though between those two.
No,
as
no,
we found out today. So, media day, and the start and awards day.
Waste of time.
I'm very surprised that there weren't more local. Even the Stockton Record didn't show up.
Nobody's gonna care. The media day consisted of two people in this room. The person sitting on the other side of the wall who does not want to be seen on this podcast, Joe, where are you? And a couple other people, and literally they asked for questions from the media members who were there for the people who... There's Joe.
Are you going to show your face?
He does exist.
Joe, yeah.
I do exist. I'm a real person, just so you know.
Okay,
we good?
Yeah, they're done.
All right.
Yeah,
fine. Cool.
Okay, bye. He waves goodbye.
So there were five media people there. Normally we get a couple hours from media day. We get some time to actually sit down with the players and the coaches one-on-one. They gave us about 15 minutes. The whole thing, we were in and out of there in about 40 minutes. So to me, a gigantic waste of time, the media day. The commissioner's address was
The commissioner's address compared to years past when Jerry Kerr was the commissioner was... I don't know if I want to call it a surprise or not, but I mean, I expected a little bit more from his first official State of the League address, unless you really can't call it a State of the League address.
You don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, maybe?
Yeah. No, yeah.
It's tough to put a positive spin on a situation where the league has lost a quarter of its teams, basically, over the course of 3 weeks. So I get it. I get why he wants to get in and wants to get out, but we'll...
Oh, I just wanted to add, the official count was five. Oh, shoot, I forgot the count.
You came all the way in here for the awesome count, and you fucked up. You're one goddamn line of play, and you fucked it up.
I think we're having
five tremendouses, five greats, and one amazing.
Really?
That was the count.
Wow, I wasn't, I was completely oblivious.
And for those of you who don't understand what that is, you should have been with us circa 2012.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But I was very surprised that there wasn't any actual... No, there was no news. There really was no news.
Usually, no news to be had.
Right, Arena Bowl usually is a time where the league will go ahead and announce expansion.
Something.
something, 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 and it hasn't happened yet. We got the standard,
It's been a great year. Yeah. We're looking forward to things in the future, and...
But again, what's funny is that he also, for the second time, Adam, he actually reiterated that not only U.S., Canada, and abroad. He again said that. I don't know what that means. I'm not getting my hopes up, obviously.
It means they're working
obviously.
On it. Yeah. You know, again, what does they're working on it mean? I have no idea. But we'll see. The lack of media coverage was partially due to Stockton and partially due to the fact that nobody's writing on this game. Jacksonville actually sent a beat writer. Did San Jose have anybody from there from newspaper?
No. No. But again, was it something that where because the media day is the day prior?
The other thing was media day was very quietly announced and was only really announced. Actually, was there ever even a release about it?
No, just through Jacksonville.
Yeah. So there wasn't even a press release about it here. AFL China is not a fraud. But we're not going to go into that today.
Yeah. Nothing was announced at all by the league. He did say that there were going to be some things announced. They would be done in the future. Nothing beyond that was actually said. 6 minutes? I think it was just 6 minutes that he spoke
not
for.
Even.
Not even?
Not even.
But then the usual stuff with the talking to the, you know, because there really weren't any media there, Ari Wolf would ask quite a few questions, and so did Anthony Aaron.
It was very poorly put together.
Yeah. But either way, and as I mentioned before, nothing can compete. I think for me it was what happened afterwards. Nothing being able to stay on the field and just basically shoot the shit with Ari Wolf and Shed Bonner.
And everybody else who was down there.
And, yeah.
You know, one of the owners of the Sabercats, and I don't even know who it was, but it wasn't a fry, was able to... we'll talk about that later in the offseason, okay, with AFL China. M. Belger. We'll talk about AFL China later on, but it's not a fraud. Anyway... there are things that are going to happen with that, I think. But we'll see down the line. What were we talking about?
About the Sabercat.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the Sabercat owners, you know, came up, talked to us for a little bit. You know, the players, it's just a different atmosphere. The players, for the most part, were pretty about the whole thing. Normally, you see one team that's pretty loose and one team that's kind of businesslike. Today, it was more or less.
It was more like this. It was like this.
It was two teams that didn't want to be there, from what it looked like.
Yeah.
And some of that comes from the personality of their coaches. Darren Arbett, he's not bad with the media by any stretch of the imagination, but he rarely has anything to say, and he didn't really have anything to say today either. Eric Meyer, short, to the point. I couldn't get more than a 10-second answer out of him whatsoever. But, you know, I wasn't impressed with it. It was a giant waste of time, in my estimation. But we did get a couple interviews, and I'm happy to put those up on our page. I just would have liked to get 15 more of them. We just weren't allotted the time.
Yeah, it was very short. It was
they literally allotted us 15 minutes to be able to talk to the players, and that's, in my estimation, not sufficient.
Now, try to go to what we saw. Now, you weren't here, obviously, because you were still flying, but the Arena Football League did release their year-end awards, postseason awards, and
some of these are going to be news to me because I haven't looked at
them. Oh, really? Yet. Oh, okay.
Okay, real-time reaction here.
Yeah, so we'll go with the, basically, here. So, the Russell, besides the ones, by the way, that were already announced prior, so Adam knows about those. So, Russell Athletic, Offensive Player of the Year, we'll start with that one, and MVP of the Year went to Dan Radomoff.
I'm okay with that. You know, clearly he was the quarterback of the year, and usually quarterback of the year wins one of those two awards. This year there really wasn't a great challenger. You know, Reggie Gray got his honor with wide receiver of the year, but they kind of painted themselves into a bit of a corner from that standpoint because they couldn't – you can't turn around and give the award, the MVP, to somebody else at that point, and you can't – unless you're going to go really crazy and give it to Joe Sykes, which I would have been okay with that if they wanted to give it to Joe Sykes.
I thought they would have gone another route with, because again, I'm having a huge issue again with continuously giving the MVP and the most offensive player or offensive player of the year to the same person. I wish they would give it to somebody else.
They've never done that before. I don't think they've ever done that before. They didn't do it last year. Normally, MVP is first team All-Arena quarterback, and offensive player of the year is second team All-Arena quarterback.
That's true too.
But Excuse me, but this year, I just choked there for a second. I'm going to die in Stockton. Anyway, the last couple of years has been like that, but there wasn't really a great challenger, you know, to Rodabaugh this year for either of those awards. He was far and away better than any other quarterback in this league and largely any other offensive player. In terms of the question that Jay Nick asks in the chat or in the Meerkat room, do you guys find out anything about a new team or rainbow announcements? No, nothing whatsoever. Completely vague. There's nothing on the docket. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It just hasn't been announced here and now.
I'm sorry. What? I was watching you actually. You're...
Hey.
no news.
So no.
No, none.
But yeah, anyway, back to Rodabaugh. Okay,
I would like to see them do it, but I mean, I don't see them, as you said, I don't see them, they've never done it. I'd have to go back and check the history if they were going to do it, but let me see here.
What are you looking at?
Awards, league awards.
In the past?
Yeah, if they actually ever have done it.
I don't think so.
I can go pre.
I mean, it wasn't that year, it wasn't any year. They didn't give an MVP that year. 2010, they didn't give out an MVP award.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because they modified it.
And we know this hasn't happened before.
Right.
So I can tell you that I already know in 11, 12, 13, 14, it wasn't that way.
No, yeah. Is there, National Guard MVP of the year? And No.
Garcia.
No.
I'm saying that it's always been two different people.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
And it really should be. But it's kind of hard. I don't know who the challenger would have been. I think Joe Sykes would have been the best option. And the only other option they would have had is Reggie Gray, and I have a tough time giving any wide receiver MVP.
I agree with you on that part. I think if it goes offensive, then I think we're okay.
And Mike, I get it that Rodabaugh's performance in the playoffs was not stellar, but they're not supposed to be taking that into consideration when considering the MVP and all the postseason awards.
Right, yeah. Rydell Defensive Player of the Year went to Joe Sykes.
Easy.
That means
one of the best years of defensive linemen is actually the best year of defensive linemen's ever had in this league, and it's not even close.
Right, and to be fair, he wasn't here. He wasn't here.
He broke his leg.
Yeah, he wasn't here. But his defensive line accepted on behalf for both of his awards that he was bestowed upon. Playmaker of the Year went to Portland Thunder's Dwayne Brooks.
Get rid of the award.
You think so?
If the award is basically just going to be the guy who has the most kick return yards or the most kick return touchdowns, call it that. Don't give me this crap. Don't try to even think about relating it to Iron Man of the Year, which is kind of what they want to insinuate this award to be.
Yeah.
The way the definition is when we vote for post-game awards is the playmaker of the game is the one who had an effect on the game in multiple facets. Kind of the same thing with the Iron Man game. But, there is no Iron Man anymore.
No, there's no Iron Man.
The performance that we saw Joe Goosby have in week, I don't know, 5, 6, something like that against Tampa Bay was awesome. Aside from that, not a lot. You know, we're going to see one in this game. Jason Holman is going to go both ways along the Jacksonville offensive and defensive line. I can already tell you, he's going to be my playmaker of the game. I almost don't care what he does in the game because he's going to play a lot of snaps.
AFL Rookie of the Year with the Greg Reed. I remember I was talking about it earlier in the season. Was he one of the ones that you had listed as somebody that you thought would
at the beginning of the year? He wasn't around the beginning of the year.
No, I know, but I'm saying when you look at all the rookies, because we talked about it, you know, different times during the year, was there anybody else that you thought might have been more deserving?
Not the way this year finished. I mean, if you had asked me this question 6 weeks ago, clearly Greg Reed had only played a few games. So I would have probably picked one of the Tampa Bay receivers, probably Kendrick Kings. Mm-hmm. But
you did mention him, yes.
But I had no problem with giving Greg Reed Rookie of the Year. None whatsoever.
AFL Assistant Coach of the Year went to Orlando Predators, Cy Burley.
Complete BS. It should be Terry Nally's award.
Okay.
Actually, truth of the matter is it should be Cedric Walker's award, but yeah. I know they're not going to.
Yeah. The Markham Moss, first time of the year, I think the head coach of the year went to Clint Dozell.
Really?
Seriously?
Really?
Seriously. See his reaction? I know you can't.
I knew that already, so it's not a genuine reaction. It's kind of a planned, rehearsed reaction, but I don't care.
What? I know. You.
What is there?
I know.
18-0? Would he have won the award if they went 18-0?
Does he have to win 20 games? Oh, he might.
Oh, he might, yeah.
He might, but I mean, it would be the first.
I would give it to Aaron Garcia, but I I get it. I get you can't give a guy who went 5-12 and won.
But you rarely do.
No, you never do. Coach of the year, you never.
Well, it's like MVP. Same thing like MVP. MVP in baseball, they won't give it to a team that's a losing team.
Unless your name's Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah. Asterisk. Right?
I don't remember if that was an asterisk here or not.
Let's see. Other than that, we had, what do you think about, I'm looking up her name right now.
Terry Valenti.
Yeah, Terry Valenti got the award for.
It's for official of the year. The AFL kind of jumping on board with this. And look, I love Terry Valenti. I went to China with her. She's a sweetheart. I don't know whether she's a good ref or a bad ref. It's just a matter of the AFL's kind of jumping on board with this whole female ref, female coach, females associated with football type of thing. I'm fine with it. I don't really have a problem.
Yeah.
It's odd to see a line judge end up winning an award like this. Mike, my guess would be he's going to be a head coach next season. Aaron Garcia. I'm not sure where.
There are a few, and something we can talk about just real, for a little bit once we get this done. The awards. It's an interesting situation, considering what may be occurring on the first, which is, everybody should know already, but other than that,
we're not talking about it, though.
No, the front office awards. God, they weren't even. God, they're not listed like I thought they were going
all
right, to.
These are all kind of BS awards, anyway.
Yeah, commissioner awards, founders award.
Awards? No, these all suck.
John Adams, executive of the year, support staff. Well, no, this one, I think is at least well worth mentioning.
Support staff
of the year goes to the Tampa Bay Storm. I mean, it's. Recognizes the whole front office.
The whole front office in totality.
Yeah. Which I think kind of makes sense. I mean, I could say Spokane too, because I know Ryan Eicher does a very good job.
Well,
with what he does. I'm just saying, not, and maybe it is a, because of what is happening, you never know, but it's. One thing that wasn't announced was the Rattlers were given the sports medicine program of the year.
Who cares? Next.
I think that was it. Okay. I think it's all they were. Last thing, the Jason Foundation Community Service Award went to the entire Cleveland Gladiators organization. I've seen their stuff on social media.
Great.
They're very prominent. You have to be. They have to be prominent in the community. It went, more than what supposedly, I guess, what the New Orleans tried and Vegas tried, but it wasn't as good as Cleveland.
One of those teams is still a part of this league, and two of them aren't.
Yes. Yes, you are right. Yes, you are.
Yep.
Yeah. So, awards were done, and obviously, games tomorrow. If you were to pick a person who you would give player of the game tomorrow, possibly. I know we're not giving away
our
picks.
Are you asking me who the most important player is, or are you going to ask me?
Well, who thinks going to be the MVP tomorrow?
Who's going to win it, or who's going to be the MVP? I'll say,
go with that then.
Well, which one?
Well, who do you think will be the MVP tomorrow?
The guy who's going to win MVP is going to end up being the winning quarterback.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's who they're going to give it to.
You don't think it's going to go to a wide receiver?
No.
If Joe Hills has the type of game that he had.
No, they're going to give it to the winning quarterback. I don't even know if they're awarding MVP anymore. I don't think they are.
They are.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, it's going to be the winning quarterback.
One of the 12 awards.
As long as, and if they bring up Iron Man again, dear God, help me.
Barry Wagner.
Yeah. We saw him. We saw Wags this week. We saw him yesterday.
I haven't seen Wags.
No, he was here. Not in the room. But
that would have been weird.
We can talk about it a little bit here. We know there are going to be some head coaching vacancies. There will be a lot of people who will be available to be a new head coach next year. Andy Olson, most likely on the first, will be one of them. Aaron Garcia. Of all the ones.
Oh.
Yeah. What?
Mike Owens.
Mike Ho too. You look at what's happening in right now, the only opening is in Portland.
Doug Plank's still out there too.
Yeah, but I mean,
he's got an interview coach.
Do you think he would come back to the AFL?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Definitely. He will be back one day. It may not be next year, but he'll be back.
I mean, Terry, I mean, in Portland, unfortunately, it's basically, they are going to become an expansion club for the third year in a row. It's weird to say that, but who would, of the ones that are currently available, unless there's somebody else, I mean, would you take an Olsen if he'll go, or would you take a Garcia?
Who would I want? Depends on the situation. To Portland, I think I'd want Andy Olsen. I can go get a whole hell of a lot of Spokane Shock players to go to
That's
my
true.
Team.
That's true, yeah, point. Yeah, the offseason is
so basically, at that point, you could take the best of Portland and the best of Spokane and make them a team, and they may win 7
The offseason of Simon Price has made him very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what the contract situations were for all those guys, but all the guys who were going to be free agents anyway.
Or to the dispersal draft, if you're for those two teams.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but yeah. I don't know how many guys there are who are actually going into that thing.
Yeah, okay.
Because if they are not still under contract after this year, they're free agents.
That's true too. That's true. But, you know, except for the what happened at Pittsburgh, anyways, being signed and then going to another team. Anyway, that
probably will not happen again this year.
Yeah. So, but either way, congratulations to everybody. And if you haven't checked out all of our Arena Bowl coverage, I don't know what the hell you're doing.
Where have you been?
Come on.
Why are you here? Why are you watching this?
Why are you listening? Why are you watching? All the archives for this year's AFL Tonight are over on soundcloud.com/arenafan. Do not forget, we have Facebook, we have Instagram, we have YouTube, we have Twitter.
The Twitter.
We have Periscope now, and we also have the Meerkat. Make sure you check them out and get caught up to whatever you may have missed. Game tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Yeah, I think that's why we are in Stockton, right?
Why are we in Stockton?
Supposedly. I mean, we could be.
No, there's no Dream Team this year, whoever asked that question.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Or Dog.
Yeah.
The Dream Team of the San Jose Sabercat cheerleaders.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the other things. I mean, it's interesting that the people who weren't here at Media Day, that's one thing I didn't mention before. But yeah, we do have a game tomorrow. It's very interesting to just try to come up with a winner. I've been flip-flopping back and forth of who I think is going to win, but and again, we can't give out our picks. I know you've been flip-flopping quite a bit more than
I'm done flip-flopping.
Oh, are you? Okay, you're done flip-flopping. Actually, just from the guys, and I know you can't see, but just from the guys in the room, I don't know, this is so set up. Anyways, hands. Don't speak. Hand. Jacksonville. Okay. San Jose. Okay. See, I'm not going to tell you what they said, because you'll have to read it tomorrow. You'll have to read it tomorrow. If you're listening on the SoundCloud, you'll have to go and read our article on who Arena Fan picked. So, are we going to get Shitford again? Remember we got Shitford last year? From the Arizona Players? Got mentioned on...
They were angry.
They were very angry. They were very angry.
The record, I picked Arizona. They all you think did. I picked Cleveland. I picked Arizona.
You did.
Pretty much everybody else picked
Cleveland. Everybody else picked Cleveland, I think. Yeah. But...
help last year.
Oh my god, I forgot I did this. These two teams have only met 3 times.
Okay.
Sabercats lead the all-time series 3-0. None of them have... Hey, you know this is going to be for the first time this game can be in Stockton.
Hey,
between these two players, these two teams.
Great. San Jose is 1-0 in Stockton.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
They're 0-1 against the spread, though.
10-0 away from the SAP
final. Great. 10-0 away from the SAP final.
But the history between these two teams, earlier this year, it really wasn't a contest between back in Jacksonville between these two teams.
No, it really wasn't. But this is a, you know, all the Jacksonville players will tell you. I mean, yeah, some of it's kind of, you know, fodder because what else you want them to say. But, you know, they're different teams now. It's certainly a different team in Jacksonville. It's certainly a different team. Actually, it's probably not really much of a different team for San Jose. Sure,
it's a very different team for Jacksonville just in the past 2 weeks with Joe Sykes going down.
Well, yeah, that's a big deal. You know, Jerron Harvey at the time was the third receiver for Jacksonville. Now it's London Crawford. But yeah, pretty much all of the common names that you're used to seeing for San Jose are playing in this game. I think. I don't see anybody who's...
I think Virgil Gray played in the first
game. Oh, yeah. He was already here. He played Tampa the week before and got hurt.
One of the differences, too, is Moe. Mo's not playing.
Well, yeah. So Purify's in. This Jacksonville team. You know what? This Jacksonville team isn't a whole hell of a lot different either. And Dron Harvey will not be in the lineup. They got Mishai Robinson back. He'll play somewhere in the stick in the secondary. Terrence Smith won't be the one returning kicks. The big difference for Jacksonville is going to be Greg Reed in the secondary. He wasn't on the team yet. So, but Jacksonville is playing a lot different than they did. Jacksonville has played its two best games of the season. Well, two of its best three or four games of the season over the course of the last 2 weeks. And if they play as well as they can play, they can beat anyone in the NFL.
Do you think that out of any of all the variables, because I know we mentioned in the last podcast that after you've heard that, you know, after interviewing all the players, do you think there's one other variable that could, besides the quarterbacks, I mean, that seems to be good, but any other variable?
Okay, man, just let's clarify that. Zach, what we were saying, you just asked whether Mo Purify isn't playing. No, he didn't play in the first matchup. He's on the team now and is going to, and is arguably the best receiver that an Arena Bowl has ever had. He put up the most massive game in Arena Bowl history in 2012, and he's had one other pretty good game in the Arena Bowl as well, and he's got rings in each of the last three seasons.
Back to what I mentioned, do you think there's one other tangible that could separate this game?
Intangible?
Well, yeah, thank you. Intangible, yeah.
And there's do I need to go through what's tangible and what's intangible?
No.
So, no. Of course, more accurately, this is tangible, not intangible. But playing on the offensive line for Jacksonville is going to be really important. I think, you know, I've been dogging Derrick Ross for the last couple weeks, and I'm still dogging Derrick Ross. I think Jacksonville is better without him than with him. The element of running the football, to me, big deal.
Well, I know we mentioned last podcast, he almost cost him the game last time.
He's had four holding penalties in the playoffs. Of the nine sacks that they've allowed now, including postseason, he's been responsible for four of them. One of Jacksonville, from all those people, was telling me that today, and I have no reason not to believe him. So I think Derrick Ross is more of a liability than anything else, which is hard to say about a guy who arguably is the best statistical, I mean, not arguably, he is the best statistical fullback that this league has ever had, but I think he's going to have a real problem with blocking. Blocking is not his thing, and that's where he's most important for the Sharks in this one, because like I said, I don't see them having a big effect running the football, even though Ross did have four touchdowns on the ground the last time these teams met.
What about kick return for San Jose? I think that would put...
Oh, Red's really huge. Good.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, to me, that could be easily one of the things that would separate this thing.
Reggie Gray had a kick return for a touchdown the last time he seen that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's Ross. Did Ross did nothing that game?
No, Ross had a massive game.
Yeah.
I'm sure he also gave up like 12 sacks, too. No, for good measure, there was only San Jose only had one sack in that first game, and it was Francis Maka, which means he was probably trying to be picked up by Derrick Ross. Just a guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean,
Tommy Grady only threw two touchdown passes, and, you know, throwing touchdowns isn't necessarily indicative of how good of a game, a quarterback has. Neither was his 324 yards. Joe Hill's had a massive game, 14 catches, 155 yards. With the way that Rob Windsor sort of abused that San Jose secondary, particularly in the first half, last week, I think there's a good shot he could have a really good game. Tiger Jones has been pretty quiet, relatively speaking, in the postseason. He could have a really good game. London Crawford is a big target, kind of the Mr. Reliable for Jacksonville, always sort of in the right place where he needs to be. Doesn't get a lot of touchdowns, but does get a lot of catches and yards as a result. So Jacksonville's got a really tough offense to stop. We know this. I mean, they've got a very, very – it's hard to match up with those three guys. And Ken Fontenette, along with Cleavon Thomas and whoever else San Jose throws out there as a third defensive back, are going to have a lot of problems sticking with those guys. But the great equalizer is a pass rush.
Well, yeah. Also, you got Tommy Grady, who's finally gotten over that hump, per se, and he's in a championship game. It's will he be able to – will he be able to actually perform on the stage?
Well, I have the question about both those quarterbacks. We've never seen either of these guys play in a game like this. Eric Meyer's never been in a championship – well – I don't want to say he's never been in a championship game. I'm not sure, but I know he's never been in an Arena Bowl. And Tommy Grady's never been. Did he get the Arena Cup? I don't think so. I think this is Tommy Grady's first championship game as well. So we don't know what these guys are going to do. And the fact of the matter is, there aren't a ton of players on either side who've actually had a lot of Arena Bowl experience. Cleavon Thomas is obviously an exception to that. He's played in a ton of Arena Bowls. Mo Purify's played in a ton of Arena Bowls. Yeah. The guys who came over from Philadelphia to Jacksonville have played in a couple Arena Bowls. Ross, Jason Holman, and Tiger Jones have played and lost a couple Arena Bowls. So there's not a ton of rings out there. And most of them are still residing in Arizona, I guess, right now.
It's you look at now both of these teams. If we were to, I'd say we weren't going to mention it, but I think we might as well go ahead and looking at the all everything put together. You personally, I know you said you've been flip flopping. Who would you be choosing to win this game?
I'm done flip flopping. I was on Jacksonville all season long, and I'm flip flopping. I think San Jose is going to win this game, but I'm done. I'm done going back and forth between these two teams now.
Yeah,
I just think it's not a very good matchup for Jacksonville. I think Ross's impact as a blocker in this game is going to be massive, and I think it's going to show and show early and often. Trying to stop Jason Stewart, Francis Maka, Dante Page Moss, Rodney Fritz.
Yep.
Who else?
Also not having a pass rush again, as we mentioned before, from Sykes, and you know the sacks will obviously be
it's not sacks. Sykes.
Sacks.
And not having Joe Sykes along the defensive line for Jacksonville is a big deal in this game too. Eric Meyer. The offensive line play hasn't been fantastic for San Jose this season. Meyer kind of runs around like a chicken with his head cut off sometimes, but he's generally effective. You know, all Eric Meyer's got to do is not screw this game up, I think. I think if he doesn't screw this game up, San Jose is going to be just fine. Yeah, maybe they get stopped a couple times, but if he doesn't make the big, you know, make the big mistakes, the really big bad mistakes, and you know, he'll be fine, San Jose will be fine, and I'm really worried about Jacksonville. The first time they face real adversity. And they haven't had a lot of that here in the playoffs where a team has gone on a 20-0 run against them and see how they respond. I think they're going to have to face that in this game. I'm just afraid from their standpoint that two straight touchdowns turns into five straight touchdowns. And obviously, if that happens, this game's over with.
I'm trying to remember what Jacksonville, them being the Jekyll and Hyde team that they have been all year, I'm trying to remember what their runs have been this year.
Well, I mean, they got killed by teams like Tampa and Portland this year. I mean, the game against San Jose really wasn't a terrible game. It was a 20-point game, and it was actually a 14-point game with just under a minute to go.
Right.
So, I mean, they're, I don't want to say Jacksonville was in the game because they never really were, but, you know, they had, at the time had a better shot at beating Jacksonville, or excuse me, better time beating San Jose than anybody else had, really, through the first 11 weeks of the season. So, I mean, Jacksonville has had those games. Just take the three games against Tampa. They killed Tampa something like 62 to something. 63-16 back on July 25th. And earlier this year in Tampa, they lost 63-28 to the same team. So, I mean, it's just one of these weird teams, and they haven't started playing well on the road until these last 2 weeks.
Right.
All of a sudden, this team has won two road games. Before that, their last road game was in L.A. The last time that they beat a playoff team on the road, you have to go back to, I believe, three seasons before this year. Last year...
Jacksonville's last run this year was starting in Week 7, where they won five straight. So, I mean, it's... They've won three straight now, heading back into the regular season. So I thought it was a lot worse. You know, we've been calling him Jekyll and Hyde. It's just weird. You look at how it showed up.
I mean, the last time Jacksonville, before these last couple games, had won a game on the road against a playoff team was May 25th, 2013. And that game was in Orlando. They just haven't been good on the road in general.
Yeah, and so I'm trying to think. There's always the factor, you know. I don't think the West Coast factor really will really make a difference in this game itself. Because
it's still a road game for Jacksonville. It's still not a setting they're comfortable in. And again, when things go wrong for this team, they tend to go wrong in bunches, and then plus some of that is momentum. And where do you get momentum from? From your crowd, largely.
That's true. Yeah, and I think we've been asked about this also, about the crowd itself. Usually, Stockton Arena can hold about 9,800. We've been told it's about 9,500. That's maximum that can show up. But, we've heard anywhere plus of 6,500 to maybe a sellout, and it depends on where you look. Because I know you can check on Ticketmaster and see it. You know, how many seats are left for this game, but it's...
Yeah, we'll see.
So, for me personally, I've been, just because of Jacksonville and the Jekyll and Hyde that they've been all year, and it's, I think there are too many too many pieces that that you know, San Jose has a lot more than I think Jacksonville does, and I think San Jose will win.
Yep.
I think San Jose will win it. Just a matter of how much. I like to see a competitive game compared to last year because it's such a great crowd in Cleveland, but then all of a sudden Arizona went on that run and it's just been, you know, just crap.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if this is a game. I don't know, I'm not saying it's going to be a 40-point game, but a similar game to that one, especially if San Jose gets off to a really good start. If San Jose, for example, if this game starts with a San Jose touchdown and Tommy Grady getting picked off and, you know, San Jose scoring again, forget about it. Jacksonville won't recover from that.
No. I just hope, you know, I just don't want to repeat. You know, we're not going to ever
repeat. Look, we've had one good Arena Bowl since 2010, and it was an epic Arena Bowl.
It was. It was. It happened to include one of these teams that's playing tomorrow.
Yeah, Jacksonville came up. Well, of course, very few of these players were on both of those teams. Probably, I'll just take a hat, you know, hazard a guess and say 8 or 9 of them were. Amichai Robinson was. I know Terrence Smith was. I know London Crawford was. Offhand, I don't have anybody else, but I'm sure there were a few others. Laurentia Jackson was. So, you know, it's... I don't know. It is a tough game. I think we're going to see a relatively comfortable San Jose victory. And it's not going to be a close one in the end, I don't think.
Yeah,
I think it's going to kind of be like the Philly Arizona second Arena Bowl. The one where Philly was at least somewhat in it, but honestly never really had a shot.
Try to make a charge near the end of the game.
Yeah.
And it just fizzled out. Okay. Massey has the game at, 14.5 point favorite for San Jose. At a 103.5 total, I think. What was the last time the actual
11.5
was 11.5 106? I think it was
one. Well, now it's 12.5 and 106.
Well, just we just checked it less than an hour ago, if I'm not mistaken. Something like that. So,
I don't think it takes much money to move an AFL line. So we probably bet $50.
Yeah, okay. I'm such a novice about that. So it's okay. If you didn't hear earlier, make sure that you tune in tomorrow via Periscope. We're going to give you an inside view of what we do during the Arena Bowl. We hope you enjoy it. Something
not G-rated.
No, and Adam had suggested it actually is a pretty good idea what we do as an arena fan team during the Arena Bowl. And it's not showing any footage, so broadcasting should be okay. If I have to find it, I will.
What are they going to do? Take the feed down?
No. Yeah, what are they going to take away? Anyways. No. I'm not. No, that's
don't
that, no,
even
no,
say that.
No, I'm not going to say that.
You were walking.
Yeah,
San Francisco.
Okay. Okay, I'm not saying that. We hope to, as I said, it's probably our last show of the year.
We'll be on after the game.
Oh, okay. We'll do our post game.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Why not? Well, okay. Even better.
Probably give us at least a half hour after the game. Probably an hour after the game.
Yeah. Don't know. I'm not sure if it's a lot easier to schedule. We'll do it on Meerkat. If not, then we'll do it on Periscope.
We don't know where we're sitting yet.
Yeah.
We have no idea.
Let
me rephrase that. We have an idea, but we don't actually know.
Now, I know you've been here in Spartan just a couple of, not even 24 hours yet, but, again, stick with our tradition. Any last words at all?
Oh, shit, I haven't thought about it. Who are the Ports playing tonight? The Ports playing?
Yeah, the Ports are playing.
Good, I'm taking the Ports.
Okay, that's simple. So, okay. Stay tuned for the remaining of our coverage. If you missed any portion of this, or if there are any issues with the stream, which I happen to see that there was, head over to SoundCloud and listen to the archive version of the podcast. So for everybody here at Arena Fan HQ in Stockton, California, Adam Markowitz, I'm Tim Capper. Watch the rebound off the net.